Now that Mitt Romney has named his running mate, the issues will begin to dominate the presidential race. Topping the list, jobs. For months, President Obama has criticized Romney for his role at Bain Capital, moving jobs offshore.
Running for governor, Mitt Romney campaigned as a job creator.
I know how jobs are created.
But as a corporate raider, he shipped jobs to China and Mexico.
And not surprisingly, the Romney campaign is pushing back.
Now, most of the money that we're investing as part of this plan will get out the door immediately and go directly to job creation.
The U.S. money has helped to create some 500 auto assembly factory jobs, but they are not in the United States.
Moving business and jobs offshore is as complex as it is controversial. So to provide a deeper understanding of the issue, this week WGBH Radio brings you focus coverage on offshoring. You'll hear from economists, businesses, and workers, and we'll look into Massachusetts companies that have gone overseas or found a way to stay home. WGBH Radio senior reporter Philip Martin begins our series, Inside Offshore.
At a recent protest outside a trucking company in Roxbury where Mitt Romney was campaigning, demonstrators carried a black coffin stenciled with the words U.S. jobs. Healthcare worker Rosie Cantav, originally from Haiti, was one of the pallbearers.
We need job over here, not overseas. It's not good for the country. Romney said he likes the people, he's for the people. He should leave the jobs over here, not overseas.
I think there's a common perception that all investment made by U.S. firms outside the U.S. is bad for the American worker. That's a simple argument that's just flat out wrong. The global economy is not a fixed pie of jobs, where one job there is one fewer job here.
Jan Rifkin teaches strategy at the Harvard Business School and is co-leader of the U.S. Competitiveness Project to help U.S. companies compete in the global economy. This is not a political issue for him. Rifkin argues that offshoring, when carried out correctly, actually helps the U.S. and Massachusetts job markets.
When people there have jobs, they buy stuff, and that creates jobs here.
Rifkin asked 10,000 Harvard Business alum heading up companies big and small why they move businesses into and out of the U.S. Wages and location are two reasons, but there's more.
Access to skilled labor. That one's deeply disturbing, right? That they can find better labor there. Higher productivity of labor is similar. And finally, a faster growing market. The fact is, when you've got India or China growing at very rapid rates and the U.S. or Europe stagnant, and you're trying to grow your business, frankly, Americans need our companies to be there as well.
Another reason that lures companies overseas are sweeteners, financial incentives. One such company until a year ago was located in Westboro. Boston Power once employed several hundred people to produce Eon lithium batteries.
They had tried to get stimulus dollars through a big Department of Energy grant program, had not gotten them, thought they should have.
Dan Permack is a senior editor at Fortune magazine. He's based in Massachusetts and blogs about deals and deal makers, and says Boston Power lost out on a stimulus package worth $100 million.
And then a province in China basically offered them a very similar deal, actually a better deal probably than the Department of Energy would have even offered them.
A multi-million dollar grant and tax cuts to build a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in Liyang, China.
And they decided to move almost all of operations to China. CEOs stayed behind. Most employees stayed behind. Some have moved over there. But Boston Power, as a company, is now based in China.
The firm has just concluded a major deal to produce batteries for a Chinese-made electric vehicle that will be on roads of Beijing and Shanghai within a few months. Boston Power is gradually moving most of its operations to the world's most populous nation. With the move, about 40 engineers lost their jobs in Westboro and at another facility being developed in Auburn. How many Massachusetts firms have transferred operations overseas since 2000 is not clear. It's a question that baffled the Secretary of State's office, the Associated Industries of Massachusetts, and the Department of Housing and Economic Development, but it's assumed to be in the hundreds. Jan Rifkin of Harvard says the top five mentioned offshore nations in the U.S. Competitiveness Project were the usual suspects: China, India, Singapore, Mexico, and Brazil.
But if you look at the full 1,000 potential offshoring decisions, the full list of countries ran to 146 countries, including Senegal, Tuvalu, all sorts of countries you don't think of as offshoring hotspots. We are competing with the entire world for business activity.
Companies have felt that they have to do that in order to remain competitive. But the real question is, what is the overall impact on society?
Economist Barry Bluestone, the son of a United Auto Workers negotiator, heads the Dukakis Center at Northeastern University. He argues that the race to offshore is a race to the bottom.
from the point of view of the owners and the stockholders of those companies, these strategies often mean that they remain profitable or become even more profitable. Bigger dividends, more capital gains, they get rich. At the other end, though, you have lots of people who've possibly worked much of their lives for these companies who lose their jobs, who are laid off either because of improved productivity or because their jobs have been offshored. And they either end up jobless for long periods of time, as we've seen recently, or they end up having to take much lower wage jobs, part-time jobs, whatever they can do.
And what are the overall results?
Growing inequality. The rich getting richer. Those who worked for a living getting poorer. Essentially, the 1% doing very well as a result of offshoring. The other 99% are a large proportion, sometimes being hurt very badly by it.
Bluestone doesn't think companies are out to destroy workers' lives, just trying to survive. But other than financial incentives and lower wages, is there a way to keep companies from moving overseas? Bluestone is about to release a study that could represent a counterweight to this trend.
What we're finding here in Massachusetts may be surprising to many. Over the last 2 or 3 years, despite the Great Recession, we've actually seen an increase in manufacturing employment, and that's the first time we've seen that since the 1970s. If you can improve your technology at home, improve your productivity, that offsets the advantage of the lower wages abroad.
One of the companies that decided to stay put in Massachusetts is a star in its field. AccuRounds, located in an industrial park in Avon, makes precision components.
This part is called a trephine blade. It's used in cornea surgery. This will actually be the tool that will cut into your eye. Our parts go into products that are high-performing products. And the better job we do in making parts and making them consistently, the better their products are going to perform in the market.
AccuRounds president and CEO Michael Tomasi takes me on a tour of the factory. He says even though his labor costs are greater than offshore competitors, AccuRounds products are highly rated, and companies are willing to pay the price. So he's found no reason to relocate anywhere outside of the U.S.
We're here because we have customers around the world, but primarily in the United States, and they need a local supplier that can give them this level of service and quality that they're unable to get overseas. They might be able to get something at less cost overseas, but by the time they get it packaged and shipped to this country, it's costing them more. We're not going to be the cheapest price on the street, but you know what? When it comes down to providing the level of service, they're finding the best value in us, and that's why we've tripled revenue and doubled employment in the last 10 years and hope to do that over the next 10 years.
AccuRound employs 70 people and is advertising for more. And Tomasi, who sits on a governor's council that advocates for better skills in business, science, and technology, says he's observed more companies and jobs coming back to Massachusetts and other parts of the U.S., a movement known as reshoring and spurred in no small measure by rising labor costs in China. But for many U.S. companies, the march to the shore is still in full swing, and some experts say this has slowed the pace of recovery in the U.S. And Jan Rifkin of Harvard admits that trying to convince jobless workers that offshoring is good for Massachusetts and good for America may be a nearly impossible task.
The word offshore has such emotional connotations that it makes it sound like any business activity outside of your locale is disloyal. You are a Benedict Arnold CEO if you move jobs offshore. Perhaps the best way for people to understand this is to imagine that each of our local businesses had stayed only in our hometown. If companies just stay at home, they will lose in global competition and we'll all be the poorer for it.
That was the essence of the message to the manufacturing staff of one company in Southeast Massachusetts in the weeks before they were dispatched to China, Mexico, and Korea to train the very crews that would soon replace them. Philip Martin, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
And tomorrow we continue WGBH focus coverage inside offshoring. Philip takes us to Attleboro, where offshoring was well underway when Bain bought the company that became Sensata. Then layoffs accelerated and Attleboro has felt its full effect. You can read more about our series and share this story. Just go to WGBHnews.org.